Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, then we'll slide to verse 17. Reads as follows. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut up, were tightly shut, because the people were afraid. Everybody say they were afraid. Everybody say they were afraid. I read it again. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut. It's important. You got to catch this. Because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out. That's going to be good in a minute. Everybody say she couldn't get out. Or in. Watch this. Now slide to verse 17. Verse 17 reads as follows. Joshua 6 verse 17. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Watch this. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Verse 18. Do not take any of the things set apart for destructions, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Verse 19. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Verse 21. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young, old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Somebody say everything. Verse 22. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the spies, watch this, keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out. Somebody say, get her out. Along with all her family, verse 23. The men who had been spies went in and brought out, somebody said, brought her out. Brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel, verse 24. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made for silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. Last verse, verse 25. So Joshua spared Rahab. Somebody say he brought Rahab out. The prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Now stay standing for one more. Slide over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the Message version, I want us to see this with our own eyes here for just a moment. It'll relate to where we're going here in just a moment. Reads as follows. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we are not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job. Touch your neighbor and say, you can't quit now. Look at your other neighbor and say, you can't quit now. Just because we run into occasional hard times. Come on, somebody. Oh, I hope your row is not a quitter row. Come on, somebody. Verse 42. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Whether we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. Let me rewind and go to the top. We refuse to wear masks. Somebody say, take your mask off. You may be seated. I wanna title this message this morning, if you allow me to, simply stop masquerading and let Rahab out. Touch your neighbor, say, stop masquerading and let Rahab out. I was driving home last night from our church masquerade ball, and I was a little shook at what my eyes saw that night. There's some images I couldn't shake of some dancing, but the Lord has delivered me. Amen. I'm all right. But as I was coming home from a masquerade ball, which we had an incredible time last night, amazing, amazing time, where God's people can just have a place to fellowship in a safe place and just have an incredible time without anybody having to be spiritual. We were just real. We were probably more real last night than any night in our lives when it comes to being church people. And as I was driving back, as I was just thinking about the night and in the midst, right before I had my flat and even after the flat, and I began to think and just talking to the Lord, and he just began to talk to me about masquerading. And he began to talk to me about church people who masquerade. And as we had the masquerade on, it wasn't that we were covering ourselves up. We were really hiding who we were. And that's what masquerading is. And as we were masquerading around, you know, really it was so good. Some people were so, you know, you couldn't even tell who they were. I had to actually listen for their voice so I could know it really was who it was. Because they had such a mask on, and really that's what, when we talk about masquerading, that's really what it was. And when I thought about it, this kind of came back to me, this sermon, this story about Rahab and the children of Israel and the Jericho wall, because really what Jericho was doing was they were masquerading. They really, when we look at the story, which we're all familiar with the story, they were doing nothing more or less than just simply masquerading around. And many times we know the story of Jericho, and we know the story of how this works, but I want to make sure you understand there's another part of the wall that we need to understand. Because we're familiar with the part of Jericho and the walls of Jericho, where we know that the children of Israel, we're familiar with this, where the children of Israel, they needed to get into Jericho to overtake the city. But we know the story that Jericho built this fortified wall. The city built this fortified wall so they can actually protect themselves from invaders coming in and protect themselves from any harm or danger. And that's why they had up these bodacious walls that were tall and thick. Nobody could penetrate the walls of Jericho. And the walls were put up. I mean, you can't blame them. They put up walls to keep people from invading and coming into a space they didn't want them in. And that's really, you know, and that's okay. And we do the same things in many ways as believers. The reason why many times we masquerade as a Christian is because we do it to protect ourselves. Many times we masquerade and we put on a mask because what we are doing is we're saying, I don't want to let you into a space or a place where I may be vulnerable. Because maybe I experienced something in the past, so now whenever I come around or I'm in an area, I wear a mask because I don't want to let anybody in. And what I put on is not really for any other reason but to protect myself from people seeing something I don't want them to see. And really what that is, that's masquerading. And to truth be told, I'm kind of like Israel, Elder. I'm okay with walls up sometimes because I don't need lolly-dotty and everybody up in my business all the time. And so I believe as believers, there's times you need to put a mask on because I don't need everybody always knowing who I am all the time. And one of the reasons is because everybody can't handle me. And so there's certain things when I don't have time to deal with drama, I just give you a smile and keep it moving. I'll give you what you need so I can keep it moving. And this is why, you know, Jericho, we talk about Israel and how they came to tear down that wall, but I want to take you to the other side of the wall for just a moment, because from Jericho's standpoint, because the only thing we know is Israel needed to get in. Israel needed to get inside, and they marched around because they could not get inside the walls that were put up to protect them. And how many know that's why many of you are masquerading around as a Christian, not because you're negative, but you're just trying to protect yourself. You're trying to pray. That's why you don't let people in. Not that you're trying to be mean. It's just I'm trying to protect myself. And the reason that I actually call it, you know, masquerading is because when you look at the walls of Jericho, walls actually speak of who people are in the Bible. I don't know if you know this or not, but anytime you see cities like Ai and they went through these different cities, cities had walls around them. And walls represented who the city was. You didn't even have to know the people in the city. All you had to do was look at their wall, and you would know everything about who's in the walls. God, that's good right there. So for example, Jericho had these big, bodacious walls that were tall. The Bible says no one has ever overtaken them. Anybody that had big walls and fortified walls, you knew that it was rich people on the other side of the wall. They were a wealthy city. They had a bodacious army because their walls were so fortified. They were amazing. They looked like they had it all together. Walls that were big meant that the city was wealthy and had it going on. And you didn't even have to know the people. You just had to know their walls, and their walls would tell you who they were and everything about them. And then you take other cities that had little walls, small cities, little hut walls. You understand what I'm saying? And you could see through the walls. Like, I see you over there. Come on, somebody. You knew that city didn't have anything going on. They were impoverished. They didn't really have a strong military, because the walls would tell you who people were. The walls were their reality. And this is why we wear a mask. And because many times when we see people, that's all we know about them. We don't even know who's behind the mask. We don't know who's behind the wall. All we know is their mask. And their mask tells us who they want us to think they are. But here's the thing. What I found out is they were masquerading around. They were masquerading because their walls were bodacious. Stay with me. Their walls, Minister John, were ginormous. And so when I looked at the wall, I'm like, man, this city's got an amazing army. They got it going on behind the walls. But in Joshua 6, verse 1, throw it back up there, tells us something in the NLT. It says that they were behind these bodacious walls, but they were shaking in their boots. God help me. They had these amazing walls, but the Bible says behind this wall, they were afraid. Oh, it's going to be quiet on this sermon. I wrote it's going to be a quiet Sunday. It's right here somewhere, page 2. It's going to be quiet. And I thought to myself, they are masquerading around. Because that masquerading means what you're showing is not really what's behind it. Because if you got bodacious walls, I'm thinking what I'm seeing tells me everything about you. But what I'm seeing is not really what's happening behind the walls. Because the Bible says they had big walls, but they were afraid behind the walls. And big walls means you're not afraid. It means you have an army. It means you got it all together. So this tells me they were masquerading around. And how many of us know that behind their walls, behind their mask, they were scared? And I believe that many of us are in that same boat with them. That we put on a mask. And the reality is, that mask that we put up to protect ourselves is really a scared person behind the walls. People are masquerading behind their mask because they really don't want you to know there's somebody behind that mask who's shaking in their boots. And what I like about it, stay with me, is, as I said, walls are great to protect themselves. That's why they had to walk around. Remember, they had to go around 7 days, and on the seventh day, they had to go around 7 times, and they had to do all this because you couldn't get behind their mask. You couldn't get behind their wall, and it was wonderful. It was working well for them. It was protecting them. It was keeping their vulnerability covered. It was not letting people in who they didn't want in. But the problem with the walls is God said, I need Rahab out. See, we preach about Israel going in, but we forgot that there's Rahab on the other side, who God said, I need her out. Because remember the story, the spies went in, and she helped them out, and they came back. They said, we're going to get you out of here. So it's amazing that the only problem with masquerading as a Christian and the only problem with the walls that we put up in our walk is that it's great when you're protecting yourself, but what happens when you leave them up too long? What happens when what you put up to protect yourself now becomes a problem for you, like Rahab? The walls that were there to protect her have now incarcerated her. Because God said, I need Rahab to come out of there. But Rahab, verse 1, they said the city was shut up. No one went in and nobody came out. And so what I need you to understand is that the only problem with Rahab and the only problem with Jericho and their walls, it's wonderful to protect yourself, but what happens when the very thing that you put up to protect yourself now has you in bondage? What happens when the very thing you're doing to not let people in, now it keeps you in and you can't get out when God says, I want to bring you out? What happens when the very thing you're masquerading around is because I don't want people to know this and it's not their business, but now you can't get out? Now you've been in it so long, you become comfortable, and God says, I need you out of that, and now you can't get out what you put up to protect yourself. And Rahab is now incarcerated. She's in solitary. And really the story we preach is about people going in, but I need you to understand there's two sides to every wall. There's two sides to every mask. There's a side, give me that mask. there's a side of every mass like there is every wall. That you know on every side of a wall, there's this side. Like if you're in jail, I don't know if anybody ever been locked up. Don't raise your hand. Just look straight at me. But you realize that on the one side of the wall, you can't get out. And on the other side of the wall, people can't get in. And this is what we always preach about them going in. But the problem is Rahab couldn't get out. And the reason God wanted her out is because he said, I have a destiny for you. I have a calling on your life. I'm coming in. He says, I need you out of there. He says, because I have something for you to do. And I cannot do it when you're behind the masquerade of a wall. See, it's amazing because one side looks a little decent, looks good to everybody. But there's another side where people can get depressed. There's another side that doesn't look like this side. See, everybody sees this side. Look, you got a bling. You got one that's a little bit blingy. You got a pretty one. You got that. Give me this one. See, this is why we want people to look all shiny. We want to put up these walls so people think we got it together. Man, this looks good when I walk in the room. But what happens when you stay in it, people see this, but this is who you really are. It's dark on that side. But I want you to see this, although I'm really feeling like this. Just like, you know, they looked at that wall and everybody said that wall was fortified. We can't get in. That wall is bodacious. But on the other side, they were shaking in their boots. They didn't want them to know we were scared. We just wanted them to know we're a fortified city. They didn't want them to know. And what I'm telling you is that God said, I need Rahab to come out. I need Rahab out from the other side of that wall. And too many of us are like Rahab. We fortified ourselves in. And God is saying, I need you to come out of your masquerade. There's something for you to do in your life. But the problem is you've been in it so long, you don't even know how to get out. You don't even know that it's not even you anymore. You blended in with what you've been using to protect yourself. You know, last night, you know, when I wore my mask last night, and it was amazing because, you know, we put it on and it was I couldn't see. My eyes were getting pinched and I was uncomfortable, and I was like, I can't do it. I told Lee Brian, I'm just gonna take this thing off, and my eyes were getting all mad. I couldn't see it. I was just all messed up. And then after a while, I would find moments where I forgot it was on. Something that was uncomfortable in the beginning had moments of comfortability after a while where I was like, man, I forgot this thing was on until I touched my face. And see, that's a problem when you live like that, where you put it up for a moment, but then you forget, I'm not really what I was showing everybody. And now God is telling you to come out, and you're saying, what do you mean come out? This is who I am. You forgot you've been masquerading since that thing happened, since you were a little girl or a little boy. You've been protecting yourself, living one way because you did it for a season. Now you can't even tell. It's not even you anymore. You're masquerading. And Israel came to the wall, and we talk so much about them saying, listen, I need to go in and take the city. But we forget that they needed, there was somebody who needed to come out. Touch your neighbor, say, somebody's got to come out today. See, too many of us are held hostage in this room right now. Too many of us have put up these facades and we're masquerading around as a Christian. I get it, you did it for a reason, because you didn't want to feel vulnerable around certain people. You had church hurt, so when I come to church, I'm going to sit the furthest from the front. Because I've been through this before. I'm going to masquerade and get my shout on, and I'm going to get up out. And now, every time you go somewhere around church people, you forgot you're masquerading. It's not even you. And you can't figure out who's who. And God says, enough of the foolishness. It's time for Rahab to come out. And the problem is, you're saying, come out of what? Because you forgot that's not even who you are. And as believers, we've got to understand it's time to cut out the masquerading. That's why I like the name of this church, Real Life, because I don't care what you've been through. Listen, we're not perfect, but you don't need to masquerade up in here. You can come into a place and you can be genuine. Real means no more masquerading. There's a bunch of imperfect, jacked up, don't have it together people. Why are you masquerading in one of the greatest places where you can be who you are? You can come in with your weave off. We don't care. You can come in with your toes not painted. We don't care. You can come in smelling like weed. We don't care. here. We just want to help you get delivered. We want to help you get to where God's called you to be. You need to stop masquerading around and get delivered from the people of God. I put something out this week about Kanye, thank you. And I said, I said he needs to get, one of us get delivered from people. And I believe one of the reasons we masquerade is because you're not delivered from people. To hell with people. I came to lift up the name of Jesus. I refuse to let somebody hijack my life and have me walking around up in here masquerading because of you. You're not that important for me to live a phony life. Let me be who I am. You're not that important to me for me to put on a mask when I come up in here. Touch your neighbor. Say, stop masquerading around. Listen. If I recall, come back to me. I said, listen, because people will cause you to hijack your destiny. People will cause you to miss what God has for your life. People, because all people do is you got to learn when you get delivered from people. I didn't even mean to combine these two, but the reason why many of us come in is because you're not delivered from the person you sit next to. You're not delivered from people. And people who live a life behind a mask are people who aren't delivered from people. The only reason you do it is because you care more about what they think than how you feel on the inside. And baby, I'm not giving you that much power in my life. I'll come up and hear how I am. And if God takes me, I don't care if you won't take me. I'm not living my life masquerading around because you're up in the building to... See... People think I'm cussing. I ain't cussing because I really don't cuss. But to hell with that. And what I mean by that, I need to clarify. When I say to hell with that, I mean literally to hell with that. To hell with that spirit, because that's where it came from. And for me, for that spirit to force me like that, that's when I say to hell with something. I literally mean to hell with that spirit, because people who come around up in here and they cause people to live a life like that, you got to say to hell with that spirit. Get up out of my life and go back to the pit where you came from, because you're not putting me where God does. They will cause you to be in a place God won't, they'll cause you to miss a place God wants you to be. And that's a spirit from hell that would only try to cause you to live in a masquerade. And that's why many people go through so much and they can't stay in one place, because every time when they hurt my feelings, I'm going over here. Well, I didn't get this over there, so now I'm going to go fly over here. Give them a 1 year to 2 years, they'll be flying around somewhere else. You know why? Because they're not delivered from people. And every building you go into, the only thing you're going to worship with are people. And your life will change the moment you get delivered from people. And God was saying to Israel, he said, listen, behind that masquerade, I need you to go get Rahab. No, not just the silver bro. He says, I need Rahab to come out. Rahab was saying, I need to get out of here. But the Bible says she was locked in. Rahab was saying, let me out. But the walls that were there to protect her said, I'm not letting you go. And I believe some of you want to get out today, but them walls you put up won't let you go now. But I believe God has sent an army in here to get you this morning. I believe there's a Holy Ghost spirit in here to break you out of what you've been in. I believe that you're like Rahab, let me out of here. But the devil has shut up that wall, and he won't let you go. But I got news for the devil. In about 15 to 25 minutes, he ain't going to have a choice, because Rahab is coming out today. Rahab is getting out of the walls today. Rahab is about to be set free today. Rahab is about to get delivered today. Rahab is about to stop masquerading and step out from behind the mask that she has on. Because what I discovered is that there's so many masks that we masquerade in life. There's so many masks. There's so many masks. Go ahead and get ready for me. Go ahead. There's so many masks, Mr. that we put on. Let me run through a few. Is that last night we had on all these things. We were masquerading. Everybody's getting their groove on. You know, did the Soul Train line if you were there. And they were masquerading in this. You know, last night might have been one of the realest nights. What I meant by that earlier is usually we as Christians wear a mask on the inside. Last night we were free on the inside and we only had a mask on the outside. I was thinking this driving, God said that was a free night. Because normally what they put on the outside, they have it on the inside. And when you get delivered from that mask on the inside, that's when you become free. And so watch this here. Let me go through a couple of masks real quick. Minister John, come up here real quick. Because there's this mask that I've discovered that you can just stand right here, face the people. Because what I've discovered is there's times that we masquerade. And there's times that when we masquerade, there's this thing that we call rude. There's this person I've met in church a lot of years of my life, in different places I go. And this is that person who's a rude person. This person right here, what they do is when I meet them, I come up to them and I get to know them a little bit, and they say, hey, Pastor, I want to put a disclaimer out. Is that when you talk to me and with people, and while I'm here at your church, I need you to understand something, that sometimes I come off a little harsh. Sometimes I come off a little rude, and I say things because I'm just straightforward, and a lot of times I go places and I've had problems, and I just want you to know that's really, that's just who I am, and once you get to know me, you're going to be okay, but I need you to know I'm a little brash sometimes. I just say things sometimes, and what I've discovered with that's just a mask you have on. You're introducing me to who you want me to know who you are. But what I discovered is the reason why you're rude is because you're really afraid. The reason why you're brash is because you're trying to keep people out. And there's really a little boy behind the mask that comes out rude and brash to people because he's hiding when he was hurt, or she was hurt when she was little. So now she put her guard up because she don't want people to see she's wounded. So when she walks in a room, she's brash, she's harsh, she's rude to everybody. But reality is there's a Rahab behind that wall who's shaking, who don't want anybody to see. Behind that rudeness, there's somebody who's hiding, who's afraid, and don't want you to see it. And we see people who introduce themselves and put a disclaimer up about who I am. You know what I've discovered is that you were neglected when you were younger. So now you're trying to protect that hurt person that's scared behind that bodacious wall. And now you're scared. You come in and you tell everybody, this is who I am. Once you get to know me, you'll be all right. And the reality is, we never even met you. We just met your masquerade party. I don't even know who you are. We don't even really know your personality. Truth be told, this is church every Sunday. We haven't even met the real life ministry. I wish today would be the day that we can meet the real people today, that we can come out from behind our masquerade and introduce ourselves to each other and say, will the real life ministry please stand up today and take your mask off and be who God called you to be. Then, Mr. Brown, come on up here. Then there's this other mask. Stand next to him. This timid and shy person. This person who says, I'm an introvert. And they make no eye contact when you look at them. They don't speak in the meetings. They sit there. And they sit furthest away, and they go into a crowd, and they're uncomfortable. And really what that is, that shyness, and the reason why they don't speak is because behind this mask, they're hiding with that quiet, that quiet mask is just really an insecure person who, when they were little, they would say things, and people would make fun of them. Now they grew up and said, I need to be quiet everywhere I go. And if I say I'm timid, if I say that I'm an introvert, that means I don't have to say anything. But behind that introvert mask, there's a Rahab on the other side crying and hiding and saying, I don't want nobody to know I'm insecure. I don't want nobody to know that I feel like if I say something, I'm a mess up. And I'll just say I'm an introvert. But in reality, you're not quiet. You're just scared that if I say something, I won't fit in. But baby, I came to tell you, God didn't call you to fit in. He called you to stand out. He called you to be who you are to be. He called you to get out from behind that masquerade and live your life to the fullest. And there are people who say, I'm just an introvert. And what I came to tell you, it's time for the real Rahab to come out. It's time for you to say, I'm secure in who I am. It's time to stop masquerading around and let Rahab out. Touch your neighbor, say, let Rahab out. Let me show you this. Minister Brown, come on up here. Come on up here. Minister Brown, come up here. Stand with them. And what I've discovered as well is that there's another. Stand right here. Stand on this side for me. There's this person who, when you meet them, they're title driven. When you meet them, you're at the gym working out, and you say, "Hey, how are you?" And they say, "Hey, I'm Pastor blah, blah, blah. I'm Bishop so-and-so. I'm Prophet so." I didn't ask you that. All I asked you were, "How are you doing?" And what I've noticed is these people who are title-driven, every time they go somewhere, they are hiding that they're insecure in the God that's in them. They're more secure in the title that God has given them. And what they've done is they've hid the real person and they start living in the title. But can I tell you, your title is not who you are. It's just an anointing that sits on your life. And what happens is people who everywhere, "I'm minister this, I'm pastor that, I'm prophet this, and I'm that." And all I asked was, "How are your kids doing?" I don't need to know who you are, because truth be told, if you're really a minister, if you're really a prophet, if you're really a bishop, you ain't even got to say anything. I'll feel your anointing when you walk in the room. You don't even have to open up your mouth. All you got to do is walk around, and the anointing on your life will tell people who you are. All these people, I laugh when I go to these places, and I laugh when I go places. Lady Brian, to tell you, I go to churches, and when I'm there visiting or conference, I just sit. I'll never ever say, "Hey, I'm Pastor such and such. I want to," you know, I just do my thing. And what happens is, what I notice is the gift will make room for you. You don't have to make room for the gift, God help me. Because when you're sitting there, God knows how to pull that thing to the light. The problem is you don't trust God more than you trust yourself. You're trying to make it happen, and the Bible clearly tells you the gift will make room for itself. Stop announcing that you are such and such, because you're not such and such. That's just an anointing on your life. I'm not a pastor. I'm an anointing. That's my anointing. I am a father. I am a man. I am a child of God with a calling on my life. And we meet all these church folk who they live to get a title because they're insecure in the God that's in them. And they're more secure in the title than they are in the God. And it's amazing that we see this in church everywhere we go. How many business cards, Lady Brian, do I have with my name on? Zero. I don't walk around announcing anything. When I meet people, I met somebody just too long ago, they had a funeral wedding here or something. Pastor K, he said, "You got any business cards?" I said, "No." But what I noticed, everybody had business cards. I am my business cards. When I walk in a room, I just do God. And when I do God, he'll do business for me. Come on, somebody. I don't have to go in a room and hand anything out. I just go in a room and live my life, and the Holy Ghost in me and on me will work for me. I don't need to announce myself. And there are people who live in those titles, because behind that mask, there's a little boy. There's a little girl saying, "I don't want them to know that I'm not confident in my God. I'm more confident in the title than I am in my God." And God is saying, "Stop masquerading and let Rahab out." Then, Chris, come on up here. Then there's this other one that's very similar to this one. Where it's not just spiritual, but they're more boastful in the natural. Where when you meet somebody, all they tell you is about all they got. See, he's more spiritual, but this is more natural. Because it's the same spirit. Some people have it in the church. Some people just have it in the world. Where you go around your family and you know, as soon as I get there, all she's going to talk about is her brand new job, and all she's going to tell me is how much money they're making this year, and all they're going to tell you is how much their kids have done all this, and they're going to tell you we got a brand new house, and they're going to tell you how much they paid for it, and I got a car, and I'm going to tell you how much. We didn't ask you how much you paid for it. I don't need you to try to live up to me. Quit hiding and being boastful. That's just a mask, because you're scared that you're not good as anybody else in the room, and so you start announcing numbers. You start announcing how much you got, because you want that to be what people see. I've been to churches, and Lady Brian, I tell you, I don't care if when we get to 1,000, 1,500, I don't care. It'll never, never, ever change. We go places and I hear people, hey, how are you? And there's these pastors, and all they do is they say, man, I'm doing good. I'm at about 1,000 people right now. What? It's in the circles, because what happens when everybody walks in the room, we're measuring each other. Who's got the biggest congregation? Who's doing this? Because really, they're all scared behind so they're trying to be boastful, because they don't want people to know that they live in their numbers and they don't live by God. And there are people in your family, and that's why you don't even want to go to the family reunion. That's why you don't even want to have them over, because they're about to tell you how little Johnny's the greatest and how your kids are failures, and they're going to make you feel bad about yourself, and because they boast in everything. And the reality is, it's just a mask, because when they were younger, mama, they're trying to impress mama, and they're trying to impress the family, and they were the black sheep, and now they're boasting so they can feel better about themselves. There are people who live like this. And the reality is, there's a scared person behind that mask who really wants to be accepted, but they don't know how without boasting. Time to stop masquerading around and let the real Rahab out. You gotta let her out. And then there's another mask. Keisha, come on up here. There's another mask where in this mask, you see people who they don't boast, but they have that A1 personality type, where their family has to be perfect. There's people who have to have everything perfect in your eyes, not just boasting, but don't let anything be wrong with the family. They have that personality where my family, I have to live behind this. My family goes to bed at 8 o'clock on the dot. And we wake up at 6 a.m. together. And every night I iron their clothes. And I make sure there's no wrinkles, and I make sure there's creases in everything. And if we don't go to bed at 8 o'clock and it's 8:01, you lose your mind for about 6 months. Because you were like, we were supposed to be in bed at 8:01. Something is wrong with this family right now. And when you come to church, you sit like this. Don't you dare get up. We're a different family. I want to look like we got it together. And you've imprisoned your family. And you tell your husband what to wear. And the husband tells the wife what to wear. Let me tell you something. The devil is a lie. My wife won't tell me what to wear. That's why I look jacked up half the time. But I am my own grown man. Don't iron my clothes. Let me live my life. Let me not match every now and then. But the problem with that mask is you can't sleep. You're tossing and turning. They didn't think the family had it together. My mother's coming over. My family's going to be here. Make sure everything is perfect. And, oh, I told you get here. I told you go to bed at this time. I told you to eat this. I told you to do that. And what that is, that's a mask, because now you are so insecure about not just you. You're so worried about other people again. You are living a lie behind a mask. Because what you really want people to see is the beauty. You want everybody to fall in love, not with you, but with the perception of who you want them to be. And Rahab is behind there. That 13-year-old girl who couldn't do nothing right for mama. Now when mama comes, get it all together for mama. And the reason you're living that way is because you're hurting and crying and the walls are shut up. And God says, get Rahab out. Rahab says, I can't get out. I've been using this mask because I was hurt when I was little, because I could not do nothing right for mama or daddy. So now my whole family's got to be perfect, because I'm hiding the wound of a 13-year-old girl in a 53-year-old body. A 13-year-old girl is locked in there. Because she could not please mama. She could not please daddy. And now Rahab is stuck. And she's living a life with a mask to please everybody. But behind the walls of Jericho, she's scared. Don't want mama to know that I'm not like her. But little did she know, mama had a mask on too. And it became generational. And now everybody's living a masquerade, because mama made it look like she had it together.
But in reality, mama was in the same bondage because grandmama lived that way. And now it's a generational masquerade until somebody steps up and says, I'm taking the masquerade off the bloodline. I'm breaking that thing today. What they had on and what mama had on, I'm getting out and I'm letting Rahab go today. And then there's this other one. This mask. And this mask right here. I'll wear this one. I'll wear this. I'll put this one. This mask is that angry mask. This is that mask where you meet somebody and they're angry all the time. You ever meet somebody? It's not that they're rude. They're just angry. I mean, they are just spitfire angry. They wake up angry. They go to bed angry. They come to church angry. I mean, when they walk on the job into the break room, everybody leaves. Why do you think when you get home from work, everybody goes to their room? The dogs get up and take off and go back outside. I've seen people, I've counseled people who they're angry. I mean, they are just living an angry life. And they begin to say, this is how I was raised to be tough. I came up in a different generation than you did. And I got to be hard because I was told to be hard. Because my daddy was hard, I got to be hard. But just because your daddy was hard, the Bible gives you another Abba Father who was never hard, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And that mask that your daddy had on, just like her mama had on, you do not have to be angry to lead your family because you feel like if I'm angry, everybody will listen to me. If I'm a man and I come in kicking over tables, my young son will be a man. My children will. That is not anything but a masquerade that you're having. You are trying to be angry because if anybody knows, you don't have it together. If anybody knows, you don't even have a vision for your family. So I hide it under being angry. I hide it under being hard. And reality, are you a soft little boy who's lost, who doesn't have a vision, don't know where you're taking your family, don't know what you're doing? All you know how to do is to whoop everybody, be angry, kick over tables, be the strong man. And the reality is you are lost behind your mask. I want to look tough because behind it I have no vision. And what happens is now I'm just hiding. Hiding this child. And now my son, I'm raising him to be this way. I'm not showing him that it's love that leads to change, the Bible says. It's love that Abba Father has expressed. He never expressed, I know that's that generation they raised you. Doesn't mean because they raised you that way it's right. Now I've seen people who they're just angry all the time. And I ask myself, why are they so angry? It's because maybe they're angry because they were raised that way. Or maybe they're angry because they're just mad at themselves because they're not all they thought they could be. I wish I was better for my family. And I don't feel like we're anywhere now. So if I just get mad, everybody will overlook how far we're not really going. If I get loud, it'll seem like I'm productive. But I'm really a scared little boy behind the mask. And there's a little boy screaming behind the mask, let me out of here. But there's that grown man that comes in and slams the table down, looks his wife in the face and says, you better do it. Tell the kids, you're going to do it. I don't care. Because you're a scared man. You're hiding. You have no direction behind this mask. And what God is saying today is stop masquerading around and let Rahab out. And there's so many different masks that all of us wear. I could go on and on with masks. Where there's so many different things. I don't know if we've got yours up here today, but I know you got one in your life. And it's time to let Rahab out. See, here it is. Thank you. You can go back. You can go back to your seat. Give them a hand for masquerading around for us. This was a couple of times. It would be good to play with me. You missed me a couple of times there. Here's what I need you to understand. Listen to me. Is that, we're good. Here it is. I need you to catch this. The reason why it's important for Rahab to come out, stay with me. Because God had a plan for Rahab's life. He had a plan for Rahab's life. And the thing with Rahab is when he had a plan for her life, listen to me. This is just a perception of you, who you want people to think you are. And what I need you to understand, and here's one of them, let me give you two quick ones real quick because I feel the Holy Ghost just shifted something, is that God needed Rahab out from behind the walls because he wanted to use her. Jesus came through the lineage of Rahab. But he could not use her behind the mask. He said, go get her out. There was a mission for Joshua and the spies to go get her. Just like there is a mission today for God to go get you today. There was an assignment, they said, go get Rahab. And the reason that God wants to get her is not just to get her, because he wants to use her. And what I need you to understand is that God cannot use what you pretend to be. He can only use who you really are. See, God cannot use this. He can only use what's behind this. Listen to me. I need you to catch this. Too many times we put the mask on because we feel God can't use this. But I need you to catch this. God didn't die for your mask. He died for the person behind the mask. I need you to hear this. Is the thing you got to understand is the reason why some of you say, well, that's why I put on a mask, because I feel like God can use that more than he can use me. But I need you to catch the story of Jericho. I'm almost done. Here it is. That behind the walls of Jericho, in the beauty of these big walls, was a beautiful city. That's why their walls were so amazing, because the city was amazing. Now, out of all the beauty behind the walls, don't you miss this. Out of everything behind those beautiful walls in this beautiful city, God saved the dirtiest thing behind the wall. Out of everything that was in the city behind the mask, God didn't look for everything that looked good in the city. He didn't get the religious people in the city. He didn't get the good-looking people in the city, the well-to-do people in the city. I don't know if you know who Rahab was. God said, go get the hoe out of the city. And not only get the hoe, but get the place where she was hoeing and save the house. Out of everything, every house, every person, you grab the dirtiest thing behind the wall to use. Why are we trying to put something up for God to use? God does not use glitz and glamour. God used hoes. He used whole houses. He used players. He used pimps. He used drug addicts. He used liars. He used adulterers. He used fornicators. God uses people who did not have it together when he went after you. I asked myself, I had a Selah moment. A meditating moment. I said, God, out of all the city, you used the prostitute. And not only did you save the prostitute, don't you miss this, but he saved the place where she was prostituting. He said, bring Rahab and spare her house. And we try to put a mask and masquerade because we want to pretend to be something. But God can't use who you pretend to be. He's waiting to use the real you that you're hiding from everybody. And the only thing you're doing is you're delaying what God wants to move you forward in because you're masquerading around. And it's amazing that we try to live this life and God says, I'm just waiting for Rahab to come out. He says, I'm looking for Rahab. I'm looking for the weakest part of your life. The worst part of your life is where I'm going to show up in your life. The weakest part of your life is where I'm going to step up and be God. The weakest part of your life is where people are going to preach sermons about your life, where he took this person who was down and out and he built him up to be something great. God don't want to take something that has it together because he'll never get the glory. But that's why we preach Rahab, is because people are shocked that Jesus came through a hole on her back. And God, people are going to be shocked that God comes through people like you, who were an alcoholic, who was a drug addict, who used to shoot heroin up in their veins, who was a lowlife, who was homeless, who was strung out, who didn't know anything, who was uneducated. But when God raises you up to step in the spotlight and you take your masquerade off and people know where you came from, then God will get all the glory. You're the one that had an abortion. You're the one that gave up your kids, but you bounced back from it. You wish you didn't do it, but here you are today alive and well with your mask off, living for God. And God gets the glory. And the reason we put that on is because we feel so condemned. And if I leave this on, I feel like I'm a little bit better. But I'm condemned behind this thing. I feel comfortable because can't nobody see me. I feel a little bit better. I'm in the room, but can't nobody really see me, because I feel that because I was Rahab, I'm a little condemned. I feel that because I had the abortion, I got to hide this thing. And because I had an affair, I messed up, and I don't want nobody else to know. And because I lost the job, because I had a gambling situation, I lost the money for the family, I'm condemned. And so I put this thing on, because behind it, I feel God can use this and he can't use this. But God says, I'm waiting for this person to come out, because I can't use what you pretend to be. I can only use who you really are. And so many times we're hiding Rahab when that's who God is looking for. Touch a neighbor and say, let Rahab out. Touch your other neighbor and say, let the hoe out. In the Bible. I'm in the Bible. That's the word. It's right there in the Bible. It's in the Bible. That's what he did. And as soon as you let her out, God will begin to move in your life. As soon as you stop masquerading around, God's going to start moving in your life. He's just waiting on you to take it off. He's just waiting on you to get delivered from people. He's just waiting for you to let that scared little girl out. He's just waiting for that masquerade party to be over. He's just waiting for the lights to come on. Because what I noticed last night, as soon as the lights came on, many of us took that thing off. And do you know how good I felt by taking that thing off? I was out of the confinements. I was free. I felt good. And the same way it felt by all that we had on, it feels even better in the spirit when you come out tonight, when you let it go today, when you quit being phony today, when you stop masquerading around and you get real today, when you let Rahab out, it's going to feel so good, when you can just be who you are, when you can tell your kids, I ain't always had it together, and I just want to be real. I've messed up before, and I'm going to mess up again. It feels good to be real. It feels good to let Rahab out. It feels good to take your wig off and just let people see the naps. Come on, let people see what you don't have. You ain't got to do it all the time. Just let Rahab out. Because here's the other thing, the second thing, and I'm done. The reason that God sent them in there, not just because he wanted to use her, but he needed to heal her. And God cannot heal what's concealed. She was concealed behind the mask. This woman has slept with everybody. She's been abused by grown people. They paid her. God wants to use her, but he has to heal her before he can ever use her. That's the problem with church, is we want to use people before we ever let them heal. And really what we're doing is we're prostituting them. There are people who need to come in for seasons of healing. And you can't let someone prostitute you while you're healing. When there's real scars in your life, God says, listen, I want to heal you, Rahab, but you're concealed right now. And I cannot heal what's concealed. God says, Rahab, you don't know what I have for your future. Do you know what's about to come through you, the anointing? Do you know the lives that are about to be touched because of you? But first, I need you to come out and stop masquerading around. And when you come out, I need you to know I'm going to heal that little girl mama neglected. I'm going to heal that young boy who daddy physically abused. I'm going to heal that little girl who was rejected. That little boy who was molested by his uncle. I'm going to heal him when he comes out. I'm going to heal that woman that had that abortion. She feels so dirty, she put on a mask. But I'm a healer if she stops concealing herself. But I can't heal what's concealed. They're hurting people behind these masquerades. There's hurting people, and that's why they're like that. But God is saying, I cannot heal what you keep concealed. That's why you go to bed feeling this way. That's why you go to every doctor, and that's why you're on Prozac. That's why you're going to counseling. That's why you're dealing with stuff. Let me tell you something. That is wonderful. I like counseling. Been there, done that. We'll continue to do it. But no counselor can deliver you. I don't care who they are. They can help you, but they cannot deliver you. I love counseling, but they're there to help. Only the Holy Ghost can set you free. I hate to break every bubble of every person in here. They can help you, but they cannot deliver you. And God wants to heal. Listen to me. Every Rahab in here, God is looking for you today. See, we preached too many times. They went in and the walls came down. And we almost miss the one little scared person behind the walls. God said, come to me. Out of all the destruction of the walls coming down, he says, come here. Everybody's running in to tear things up, get the silver and gold. And in the midst of it, there was one vulnerable lady. God says, come here. I know you've been hiding behind these walls, shaking. Now you're exposed. It feels uncomfortable. But come here. Let me heal you. Run to daddy's arms. Let him heal you today. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. Stop masquerading around and let Rahab out. It's time for the real Rahabs to stand up. It's time for Rahab to say, it's time to be healed. It's amazing. We had a masquerade party last night. And I felt God said on my drive home, it's time to have a masquerade party at church.